Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Welcome to the Bootleg Cab Show. Special guest, repping Dreamville. We got the homie Lutes here.
What's going on, man?
And we will start this podcast by explaining to you what a juggalo is.
Please.
So do you know who the Insane Clown Posse is?
Yes.
Okay, so that the juggalos are their fans. Their fans are typically...
Somehow, I feel like I knew that already, but I...
Yeah, they get like Hatchet Man tattoos, and they're typically like pale and smelly. They have like meth problems, mostly. They were designated a actual gang by the FBI.
What?
Yeah, so you know how like the Crips and the Bloods and the Hells Angels, the Juggalos are designated a gang through the eyes of the federal government.
It's fucking deep.
Yeah. Have you never been to an ICP show?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you get soaked. They shoot 2 liters of Faygo soda into the crowd, and everyone's just like, it's pretty crazy. Yeah.
That sounds nuts.
Well, listen, man, welcome to the show.
Appreciate you.
Glad to finally have you up here. I've been bothering Interscope to have you up here for, I feel like, a couple of years now. Yeah. But you got the album out now.
Yeah, for sure.
You're from Charlotte, and I was just talking to Stunner for Vegas about just North Carolina having a moment right now. Mm. And Charlotte has had, well, not Charlotte, but North Carolina in particular has had such a... just a crazy history in hip hop, because one of my favorite groups who you got on the album, Little Brother, is from there. Stunner for Vegas had no idea who the fuck Little Brother was. I tried to explain it to him.
I mean, it'd be like that.
No, I get it.
Like the age difference, and, you know.
Yeah. But North Carolina, just in general, man, it feels like there's just a dope wave and energy coming out of the state, out of the Carolinas in general. What do you think like is special about what's coming out of your region at the moment?
That everybody don't sound like each other. I think that's the beautiful part about it. Like, we don't have a distinct sound, I feel like, and I feel like that's fire, because you see how many different types of artists come out of either the city or the state.
Right.
So I think that shit's fire as hell.
Yeah, because, like, you know, you got, like, obviously Cole, guys like yourself, and then you got the baby, who's also a lyrical monster, and then you got Stunner for Vegas, who's doing, like, you know, street shit, and so I just think there's, like, a dope, diverse, like, roster of guys that are coming out the city
and
now.
It's all the same shit, really. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all the same shit, but like different genres, different. Everybody talk about it differently.
Yo, you put Little Brother on the album, which is amazing. By the way, if you're watching this, don't go stream Minstrel Show or The Listening, because fuck ABB Records. That being said,
precisely,
go listen to their last album. But how big of a deal was like Little Brother to you growing up, being in North Carolina?
It was pretty big, like, especially just the way they did things and the impact that they had on.
Because how old are you?
I'm 32.
Oh, okay, so we're about the same age.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm 34. So you so you were like tap. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So I remember hearing The Listening for the first time. It was like a moment, man.
Yeah. My friend's brother put me on The Listening, and I was like, damn, this is fire. I'm like, they from North Carolina? It's like, yeah, they go to Central. That's fire.
Yeah, and then obviously Ninth Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
just having a hell of a career as a producer.
Yeah, for sure.
Now as a professor. Minstrel Show was like, which album do you prefer, Minstrel Show or The Listening?
The Listening, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
It's close for me.
Yeah.
I go back and forth, man. The Minstrel Show, I remember, like, I think The Minstrel Show, because I would, like, they opened up for Dilated Peoples on tour when The Minstrel Show came out. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing that like, live, and it, like, just stuck with me in my high school years. Mm-hmm. Like, seeing The Minstrel Show, like, that album being performed live.
See, honestly, I got put on, like, later down the road. I didn't get it as soon as it came out.
Right.
Type shit. But when I did hear it, I was like, damn, niggas is tapped in. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially in the era where they came out and everything else that was going on musically, mm-hmm. I'm like, damn, they like stuck to their guns with their shit.
You know, Fonte is one of the greatest. Mm-hmm. Fonte is that guy.
Yeah, Fonte sequenced the album.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what, talk about your relationship with Fonte.
Pooh's my manager.
Wait, rapper Big Pooh? Wait, how did I not know this? I think he might have told me this. Because mm-hmm. he's been managing for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Since I got signed,
yeah. Yo, he told me that when I saw them last, right after the last album came out, mm-hmm. Pooh was telling me he was managing you.
Yep.
I totally forgot about that, yep. bro. Damn, that's crazy. Yeah,
that's how that works.
So rapper Big Pooh is your manager.
Mm-hmm.
One of the nicest guys in the just ever.
Yeah, nah, Pooh's fire.
Pooh's a fucking great guy, man.
Literally my brother, no pun intended.
That shit's amazing. Bro, I totally forgot that he because I had talked to them right after, I want to say it was the end of 2019. It was right before, it was like right after the album dropped. So, yeah, now he told me that too.
96 Part 2?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now he told me that. I totally, totally spaced that. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so you got Fonte and Pooh just in your back pocket. So, shit is lovely.
Nah, that shit was fire.
Yeah.
Shit was fire, to be honest, when they played the album back, I really didn't know what I had at the time. So when they played it back, I was like, damn, this shit's crazy. This shit sounds amazing.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy how important, like, sequencing is. It's
very important because, honestly, I was just making music. I'm like, man, I ain't got shit here. We just going to put some shit together or whatever. Like, I just didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't realize what I was making. Like, I knew the process. I knew my process and what I was going through and how I wanted to express myself doing it. But I had no idea what direction, how I wanted it to be. So hearing it all sequenced together with, you know, the musicians and all that shit, it's just like, damn, this shit is so beautiful.
Yeah, it's crazy because if you think of like classic albums, like if you moved around the songs, mm-hmm. they might not hit the way that.
Nah,
it's about all. It's all about when you press play, how that journey.
But see, that's how I am as an artist. All my bodies of work, I want them to be listened to from top to bottom.
Yeah, you don't want people to just go listen to the single. Yeah, you want them to appreciate it for what.
I want to flow all the way through, so you get the story and you get everything, and it's an experience. I want people to listen to my shit and it be an experience.
Well, whose idea was it to have Fonte help sequence? Was that your idea, his idea, or Pooh's idea?
It was Pooh's idea.
Yeah, I think he's probably him and Sean Price. I think Black Thought gets a lot more flowers than both of them, but him and Sean Price might be the two most slept on MCs ever.
Yeah. Now, Fonte is hard.
And he can sing his fucking ass off.
Yeah, no, Fonte is hard. And funny as shit.
And he's hilarious.
Yeah, funny dude.
I think he's writing for like TV shows or some shit, right?
I'm not sure, but yeah. I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it.
What is something that, because they obviously got a tough shake, you know, with some shitty record deal shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are some of the things that, like, who has kind of instilled in you to, like, you know, apply to your own career that he had to go through first for you?
Literally, when me and Pooh first started out, he let me know, like, look, bro, this shit don't happen overnight. Like, he fucking instilled that energy into me, like, this shit don't happen overnight. Like, I know you see all the shit that's going on and you see what's happening, but it's going to take work. So you're going to have to put in the work to get this shit. And also how to manage my money better, too. Yeah, that was, like, one of the two things that he instilled in me in the beginning. Like, yo,
that shit's important, man.
Yeah, like, watch your money, and at the same time, you got to put in the work if you want to really, really get somewhere.
Because, you know, what I love about Pooh is he was so transparent about, like, yo, there was a point in time where I was driving Uber. Like, yeah, you know.
Was.
And that shit is, I think that's dope because it lets rappers know, like, man, this shit ain't always sweet. It lets fans know that.
Mm-hmm.
Because most rappers have been in those vulnerable positions. But the perception is that they're never in those vulnerable positions and that they're always doing better than everyone else. But like, what were some of the money advice things that Pooh had kind of told you to like look out for?
Basically, like, just not aimlessly spending money on dumb shit, like, yeah. You know. And when you get business situations, like, just spending money on, you know, the things that you need to spend the money on and not going out here and just buying dumb shit like chains and shit.
Or like a car that is like a depreciating asset.
Or cribs with extra rooms that you ain't got no furniture in.
That happens a lot. I've been to so many houses where it's like, yeah, we haven't decided what we're going to do with this room yet. It's just right. There. There's boxes.
Niggas ain't doing shit with that room. At all.
Yo, how did, you know, the Dreamville situation initially kind of take place? Like, what I love about Cole is everyone he's ever signed, it's always artistic integrity first. Mm-hmm. If you think about Ari Lennox and like how he's built her up, like how, like you said, nothing happens overnight, right? Mm-hmm. Boss, a perfect example.
Right.
You know, Boss has got a record on the radio right now and he's mm-hmm. built up that fan base over the last 7 or 8 years. Yeah. So what, you know, obviously you being so incredible as an artist, like how did that translate to getting on Cole's radar?
To be real with you, people ask me that a lot and I have no fucking idea. Like I was working at Walmart and... I get a call from my friend, and he's like, yo, Cole just hit me up and said that he fuck with your music. And I'm like, bro, that makes no sense. Why the hell would Cole hit you up and tell you that he fucks with my music? And this was the time where, you know, on Twitter, you had to be following somebody
to get the DM. Yeah.
So I guess Cole had found my music, and I wasn't following him, so he found the closest person that I was talking to, like the most recent person I was talking to, and that was my friend. So my friend was following him because he was a Cole fan. So...
Just hit your random homie.
Yeah, he hit my homie and was like, yo, tell your boy I fuck with his music. Tell him to holler at me. So my boy hitting me, you know, like, yo, I'm saying like, bro.
You're full of shit, bro, because like, it's just your normal homie.
Like, why would Cole hit you up about my music? And he just kept hitting me about it. So I'm like, when I went on my lunch break, I'm like, see what the fuck you talking about. So as soon as I add Cole hit me. It's like, yo, we at the Fillmore this weekend. Pull up and I'm going to let you know how I found your music. And that's how it started.
What year was this?
This was either 2012 or 2013.
Damn. So this was almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
We're knocking
on. I want to say it was 2012.
So that was, 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah, for CIAA. I was like, damn. Like, that's nuts. So when people are like, yo, how did this happen? I'm like, bro, I can't tell you. I don't know. I don't know how this happened.
Is that friend still your friend?
Yeah. No, that's still my boy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah, that's my brother.
And so did you sign with him right away?
Nah. I literally signed. That was, like I said, that was 2012, 2013, and I didn't get signed until like 2016. So it took a minute.
Dude, that's a crazy story. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about working at Walmart in North Carolina and what kind of crazy shit you saw.
Trash.
Was this?
I almost had to scrap a couple of people.
Was this a 24-hour Walmart?
Yeah, it was 24 hours.
This is not the one. Is this the Walmart the baby killed someone at?
Nah, no.
Okay, not the same Walmart.
It wasn't around that one.
Okay, I don't know. You got to ask.
That was actually pretty nice, though.
That Walmart?
Yeah, that Walmart, despite everything that happened or whatever.
That's the one I go to.
That's the homicide. Yeah, that's the one. But that's the one I go to. Like, yeah. That's literally the one I...
He's like, yo, for real shit, like, that's the Walmart you could go to and not see 38 juggalos at 2 a.m.
But this shit's actually pretty nice.
No, nice area. So that's your Walmart.
That's the Walmart I go to.
So the Walmart you worked at was fucked up.
Yeah, I don't. It's not even 24 hours no more.
You know what I like to do? Like when, because I don't think Walmarts are 24 hours at all now.
Nah.
But when they were?
Fire.
You used to be able to go to Walmart at 3 a.m. fucked up after the club and just people watch.
Fire.
Like, yo, I want to see who's shopping at Walmart at 3:15 on a Monday morning. And you'll go in there and it'll be like a fucking... just 490-pound lady in a fucking scooter with a fucking dog.
Yeah.
Fucking
eating out of her hand.
She's got fucking Tostitos pizza rolls in her fucking cart. She's got fucking Calmine lotion for her knees. You know what I'm saying? It's fucked up. What's the craziest shit you saw at Walmart?
A dude came through dressed like a Walmart employee and
fire.
And left with like 5 TVs.
Fire. That's amazing.
That's like 5 TVs. Like, damn, why I never think of that, bro? He literally had on a blue shirt, khakis, went to the back, and was hauling them out, like, you know, as if he was helping somebody. take the TV.
This is while you were working, like during your shift?
Yeah.
No one stopped him?
Nobody stopped him because they thought he was helping somebody with the TV.
This is amazing.
Yeah. So I'm like, yo, I gotta think of that next time.
Do you still have your Walmart vest, like, in the closet?
I don't have my the vest, but I still got the badge.
Oh, yeah. We know. Maybe we run that play, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This rap shit don't work out. We'll go to Walmart and we'll steal TVs.
Get TVs and shit.
And pizza bites.
Pizza rolls.
Yeah, the pizza rolls. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you say you almost had to get into fights?
Yeah, I had to get in like a lot of fights, to be honest. Almost.
About like what happened?
Because for me, it's like, bro, I mean, you know, a job is a job, but I don't need this job that much for you to be in here disrespecting me and shit. Like,
for
I
sure.
smack shit out of you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, don't talk to me like
that. Well, I appreciate that, because you know what I hate is when you go to Walmart or anywhere that's like a job that's like obviously, you know, and people take the job so serious.
Yeah, no, I hate shit like that. When I worked at Target, my supervisor.
Oh, you worked at Target too? So you moved up.
Yeah, well, you think I did, but I actually moved down because I was doing like the stocking and shit. Because when I was at Walmart, I was cashing.
Oh, you was on.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I was that nigga. Well, at least I thought I was. But then I went to Target and I was like, stocking, so I'm putting like noodles on the shelf and shit. Ketchup.
Did you notice the aesthetically the human beings that went to each place like improved?
Completely different.
Yeah.
Shoppers at Walmart and Target shoppers, two completely different shoppers.
Which ones are more attractive?
Target.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're right on with the stereotypes here.
Yeah. It's true though.
It's true, right?
It's not, very true.
It's true. Yeah.
It's very true. You get a more higher quality at Target.
Yeah. People. Yo, in North Carolina, the Walmart had to be like Redneck Central, right?
It was a little mix, a little blend.
Confederate flags, yeah. NASCAR when shirts. I worked at,
yeah, it was definitely like up there where.
Lots of cargo shorts.
Yeah.
Damn, yeah, that's. Walmart's a wild place, man.
It is, though.
It is, bro.
Like, especially like when it was 24 hours. So after 12, because you got to shut down and like kind of. They come by and like collect the money or whatever. And then they like. Switch over to another shift. So after 12, shit gets wild.
Oh, I'm already knowing. I had a 24-hour Walmart right by my crib growing up. We used to just go there and fuck with people.
Yeah, man.
Did you have a McDonald's in your Walmart?
No, we had a Subway.
Shit, I bet you was eating Subway a lot.
I was, though. They got to the point where they was like trying shit. They was making pizzas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still trying shit. Like, who wants a fucking Subway breakfast bowl? The fuck are we doing here? Who wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to go to Subway for
breakfast? I'm not eating breakfast at Subway. Hell, I don't even want to eat subs at Subway.
Subway's like Old Faithful, man. Some of them 24-hour Subways in LA, you'd be like, I got two options. I got Subway or I got McDonald's. I'm going to go get this sub. Hey, what up, man? We got to interrupt the interview real quick to tell you about our family at Odd Socks. Now, when I be riding for Odd Socks so hard, man, it's because I really love the product. They got the most comfortable socks in the fucking world. I got a pair of Odd Socks basics on right now. Go get those. They got the socks, WWE joints. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to The Undertaker, Pepsi, motherfucking, really whatever you need. Some weed socks. Nickelodeon, but really, they got the draws now, ladies and gentlemen. I'm holding a pair of Tapatio underwear right now. You want some Pop-Tarts on your dick? Pop-Tart draws. And these motherfuckers are so comfortable. Like, man. So listen, you got to go to oddsocksofficial.com and use the promo code, the discount code BootlegKev at oddsocksofficial.com. You'll save 20% off underwear, the most comfortable socks in the world. Crazy licenses. Not only they got the WWE, they got the Scarface, they got the Street Fighter, they got the Nickelodeon, they got it all. So make sure you hit that website, oddsocksofficial.com. Save 20% off with the promo code BootlegKev. All right? Go do that. Shout out to Odd Socks. Let's get back to the interview. Damn, that's crazy. So you ended up when you signed in 2016, had you already left like retail? And you know, because I'm assuming you met with Cole in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Kept that relationship alive. You're probably dropping music. Were you dropping music and working at the same time, or like?
Yeah. And then I ended up getting fired from Walmart. And then I started working at the airport.
Oh, that's rough too, yeah.
Yeah, no, it is. It was. But when I started working at the airport and my bread was looking a little different, like in between 2012 and 2016, at a point I was working at the airport for a minute and I had a daughter, and I was like, man, fuck this rap shit. Like, the money looking good. This is like a career for me, because I was fueling planes. Oh, so yeah. I'm like, yo, I'm good.
Little benefits?
Like, yeah, hell yeah. All kind of benefits. So I'm like, man, fuck this rap shit. Like, what I need to rap for? And I got a child on the way.
That's
so,
a popping airport, too.
Charlotte Airport is popping. I mean, it's cool.
I mean, I feel like I've had like 7 layovers there.
You know what's crazy, though? Like, the one thing I loved about working at the airport is each day is never the same type shit. You know, you work a regular job. It's right. Like, I'm doing the same shit every day. Like, every day was completely different. You don't know what the hell you was going to get out there.
So, yeah, I feel like a lot of layovers happen in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Like if you go from the West Coast to the East Coast, sometimes you got to... What's that biscuit place that's in the airport? The it's like chicken and biscuits. It's in Charlotte. Fuck is it called? You have to know this. You've been on the road so much.
Biscuitville?
No, they have like breakfast, like chicken breakfast biscuit sandwiches. It's like a chain. Is it starts with a B?
Bojangles?
Bojangles.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's the only time I've only had it in the Charlotte airport.
Oh, word? Yeah. So you never had it like at the actual chain? Oh man, yeah, you gotta do yourself a better service next time. You gotta.
How big of a deal was it for you, Cole, and Baby to be on a record together at that time?
It was fire,
especially for North Carolina, right? Because yeah, that's
but I felt for me like at the time, I felt like it was fire, but at the same time, like man, I'm in the middle. Don't nobody know who the fuck I am.
But that's why it was dope for you.
Yeah. No, it was though.
Because they're like, yo, this guy, who's this fucking guy, Luke?
So I'm like, man, I don't know how people are going to react to this. Because I'm like, you know, you got Cole, you got the baby, and then you just got this guy in the middle. But the responses was fire. Like, I loved it.
And then you got a Grammy nomination from that, which is a fucking big deal.
Yeah.
Were you there when Chris Bosh was pulling up with Beats?
Yes, bro. That was trippy as hell. Like, to come around the corner... And you see Chris Bosh in the corner making beats and shit. And they were fire.
Right. Better than Chris Webber's beats have ever been.
Yo, them shits was fire. Yeah.
Chris Bosh is fucking... Hey, man. One of the biggest what-ifs... Well, he's probably like top 10 what-if in NBA history. There's some bigger what-ifs, but... So you... Did you end up getting on any of his beats?
No, I didn't get on the beats, but the ones I heard were fire as hell.
Were you there when the Bucks all came?
Yeah, I was there too.
Wow.
Yeah. That was another moment where it's like, yo, this is random as hell.
Fucking Giannis just hanging out.
Yeah, just chilling with t-shirts and Bucks hats, coffee mugs and stuff.
They just brought you guys a bunch of Bucks shit.
Mad shit and food. They brought food too.
The Bucks catered a Dreamville session.
That whole day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you able to like connect with anybody on the Bucks at all at that time?
Nah, because I was mad, like ducked off.
Right.
Yeah.
Plus, you're probably a Hornets fan, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be nice to be a Hornets fan now that you guys look like you have a future.
You know, I'm going to be honest. I don't really watch basketball like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Not really.
You watch any sports?
I watch football.
I mean, you know, you got Sam Darnold.
Yeah, true.
Leading the league in touchdown rushes right now.
I like Sam Darnold.
He's killing it.
Yeah, no, he is.
He is.
I mean, we lost our last two games, but...
My producer just traded for him in fantasy football.
Right? Yeah, nah, he's fired.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah, North Carolina, man. You know, there's so much culture there. I feel like like you said, CIAA is always there.
We don't have it no more.
No,
went to like Baltimore.
Yeah, moved, right? And that, you know, Baltimore's not going to.
Yeah, who knows?
We'll see.
Get it back.
How is like the reception of the album been in the small amount of time that it's been out?
Honestly, man, it's been really crazy. I was surprised because I'm like, I didn't know how this was going to go. I was kind of nervous to put this out because I never put an album out or I never really did something like this where I felt so exposed and I was like mad.
Vulnerable.
You know, so it was giving me anxiety to put it out because I'm like, damn, I just don't know how this is going to be perceived because I didn't go in here with no intentions to make bangers or a single or anything. Like, I just went in the studio and vent it, you know, so... I didn't know how they was going to perceive it. And so when it dropped and I didn't see the responses until, so the album dropped Monday, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was nuts. Album dropped Monday. I didn't see the responses until Thursday because my phone had got fucked up.
Oh, wow.
Right? So I couldn't swipe up.
Oh, wow.
To see the screen or anything. Yeah. So I finally go to Apple and I get it fixed. And dude was like, yo, you loot? And I was like, yeah. He's like, yo, your album's fire. I was like, yo, I appreciate it. I'm glad you fuck with it because I can't see anything.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, bet. Like, let's get you squared away. And they did. And that's when I saw like all the responses and everybody really fucking with the album. I thought that shit was fire.
I think when you go in and you purposely try to make a single or a banger, it never works.
Right. I wasn't even thinking like that though. I just literally went to the studio and was just venting and shit. Yeah, I had no intention.
That's the shit that cuts through, man. That's the shit people want to hear. At the end of the day,
no intention of making bangers.
Like you said earlier, like when you make a body of work, you want people to listen to the whole body of work. Right. You don't want to be an artist. Like I always tell everybody, there's longevity in being an artist who puts out bodies of work and not depends on hit records. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, I feel that.
Because you could do the hard, like get that hard ticket money, get that following who will buy all your merch, who will support whatever you do. Like, and the way you're going to do that is just by being true to yourself, bro. Because that's what people relate to.
Nah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? What was like for you, like you got some dope features, obviously Kaz is on the album. You got some, you know, obviously Ari's on the album. But what was like a feature that maybe was like a little down to the wire on this project, or were they all pretty much, you know?
I say the most down to the wire feature was BJ, but it was like, it was so fire though, cause like I'm hitting him like, yo, I really appreciate you doing this, like, so, cause I know it's so last minute, but like, yo, I really appreciate you doing this. And he's like, nah, bro, I appreciate you even reaching out to me to do it.
So slept on still. Yeah.
Nah, for sure.
Somehow he still slept
for
on.
For sure,
it.
Man. But how that shit worked out, it's crazy. But it was definitely down to the wire. Like it was like super last minute.
Are you gonna like follow, you know, I think when we think of Cole, I think Cole like always makes us kind of wait, right? For an album. Boss is the same way. Mm-hmm. How is like now that you finally got this project off your chest? Do you plan on like getting back in soon and like keeping up? Because you know nowadays,
yeah, no, I get what you're saying. You know, I do plan on
digging a baby. The baby dropped like 3-4 fucking 7 albums in 2 years. It was a lot, bro. It was just a lot going
I'm
on.
I'm not doing all that.
No, I'm saying, but Jesus Christ.
Nah, because for me, when it comes to projects and like bodies of work, I really like to take my time.
Of course, live life a little, right?
I don't be meaning to take like years. Right, but like, I really like to take my time, but I feel like what people don't realize is like, shit, we go through shit too. Like, life happens.
Yeah.
So, even though we don't intentionally, or at least I know I don't intentionally mean to be, you know, dropping albums at 4 year span or whatever. It's just shit. I be going through shit.
Hey, and that shit that you go through gives you more content to write about.
I don't be mad about the shit that I go through because I'm like, any situation, whether good or bad, especially bad situation, I'm like, yo, this shit's fucked up. But at the same time, it's going to make for a good song, you know? So I can't really be too mad about the situation, or I can't be really too down on my luck because I know it's gonna come out to be a great song somewhere along the lines.
Have you guys kicked around the idea of doing another Revenge of the Dreamers?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what
I know that there's like a lot of records that just didn't make. Mm-hmm. By the way, shout out to Eeb.
That was hella records that didn't make.
Well, I know, you know, we talk about sequencing.
Yeah.
Eeb did such a great job.
He did.
Putting together a front to back, just press play. And that's so much harder to do with a compilation. And I'm sure with like the batch of records that he had to choose from. Mm-hmm. And then when you looked at the track list, you were like, what the fuck is like, yo, I don't know what's Guap Dad sounding like on some Dreamville shit. You know what I'm saying? But it was
Guap Dad's hard.
No, Guap Dad's fire as fuck.
That's hard.
Yeah. No, he's a great guy too.
At that time, I didn't even know he rapped. I was just so used to seeing him.
He's like a meme.
Yeah, and doing funny shit. But when he was in there spitting, I was like, yo, he's fire.
Who are like if you had to like you know, top 3 or 4 artists all time?
ODB, CeeLo. And Biggie. The only reason why I say Biggie is because like his flow is just
butter. Like, crazy, we just had a conversation about this the other day, like butter.
It's crazy.
I think the only artist, I was saying this yesterday, the only artist who has ever gotten close to me feeling like, God, that was so buttery is Ross. Mm-hmm. Like when Ross raps on some shit.
Word, you think so?
It just slides off the beat.
I don't like, listen to Ross like that.
Oh, you should, man. Teflon Don is a fucking classic.
I don't know. It's too slow for me.
I get it. Nah, it's crazy. So you said ODB, CeeLo. You know what's crazy is the first time I ever heard CeeLo was on, I want to say it was on Aquemini when I was a kid. But man, his voice, when he came in, it was like, who the fuck is this? But this is when he was rapping. This is before I even like, there was a song called They Don't Dance No More by Goody Mob.
Yeah, nah.
And the way he came in on the end of that record, it was like, who the fuck is this?
Bro, Goody Mob is like one of my favorite rap groups of all time. So it's like, when I heard CeeLo, I'm like, yo, this dude is fucking nuts. And then when they did the Gnarls Barkley shit,
I was like,
this guy's insane.
Nah, he's a beast, man. And I mean, ODB is obviously, I'm a huge Wu-Tang fan. So I feel like we don't talk about ODB enough when we talk about Wu-Tang.
You need to, though.
Ghostface gets love, Meth gets love.
Yeah, no, GZA, we gotta talk about
ODB, man. Yeah. He brought a lot of character to those albums. And put out, you know, one amazing album, and N-Word Please was solid, you know. Mm. What was like, what gravitated you towards ODB, man?
Just his style. Like, he was very, like, raw. He didn't filter himself. You know what I'm saying? It was no filter with him. Like, when he went to the shit, put out in the limo with the food stamps, like, what? Like,
man, if he would,
that's the type of shit I'm on. Like, you know, just raw and, like, true. Like, he was true to himself.
Can you imagine if social media was the way it was when ODB was alive, how fucking lit he'd be on the gram? His Instagram be fucking insane.
But I love that, though. I love that about him, and I love that about artists. I love when the artists can just be, like, themselves and, like, be, like, super true and super, like, unfiltered.
So would you take Goody Mob over Outkast?
Yes.
Ooh.
I would. But Andre is in my top five, like, greatest rappers of all time. And Big Boy. People sleep on Big Boy, too.
Of course.
Like,
Big Boy's
a monster.
Don't
give him his credit.
I agree.
But yeah, I would take Goody Mob over Outkast.
Okay.
I would.
Would you? Okay. Well obviously, what is Soul Food your favorite Goody Mob album? Still Standing?
I had a conversation about that a couple of days ago. But yeah, I would
say. Is it Still Standing or Soul Food? I mean, to me, those are probably the two you'd pick from, right?
Yeah. But Soul Food, yeah, I think Soul Food is my favorite album.
How about, let me ask you like this. Would you take Soul Food over any Outkast album?
No. Because Aquemini is kind of like one of my favorite.
That's the one.
Favorite Outkast albums, bro.
You know what's crazy when you talk to Outkast fans? There's Aquemini people and then there's ATLians people. By the way, I love both albums.
Right.
But there's people who swear by either one of those as their best album. And I'm like, yeah. I'm an Aquemini guy. I'm on the Aquemini train, man.
Then you get the CDs and it's got the women on them.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. Bro, every fucking Outkast album had a naked bitch on it. It was amazing. As a kid, it was amazing. And you know what was crazy is when you had a homie who had to get the album from Walmart, the fucking CDs had fucking the titties blurred out.
Yeah.
The edited version had, I was like, oh, this is the clean version of the album. Nah, get that shit away from me. The titties are covered up.
Nah, you appreciated shit like that.
Oh my god!
Because it didn't really go with like, it didn't go with anything. It was just naked women on the CD cover.
There's a guy who makes rugs. I forget his name. He makes like custom like CD rugs.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. I've seen him.
And he did I want to say he did the Aquemini CD, or no, he did the Love Below. But I was like, man, I wish somebody would do ATLians with the like cartoon naked chick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's crazy. Yeah, okay, so I just want to make sure, you know, Aquemini to me is like top five album ever. Love it, so, bro. Soul Food's great, but, you know, I got to go with Aquemini over Soul Food for sure.
I just feel like they, like, with Soul Food or just Goody Mob in general, like, they were ahead of their time, especially how people are now with, like,
hey, Gip,
eating good,
sure.
And, you know what I'm saying, and being woke or whatever. It's just like, bro, these niggas was tapped in.
Think about Gip and Andre, just fashion wise, like,
they
were kind of like the OG Young Thug. Like, you know, when Young Thug was doing his shit, I'm like, man, this is just some shit on.
In a sense.
I'm talking about just like breaking the, where people, because you know, everyone used to think Andre was gay. I mean, he said it on Aquemini. Is he on drugs? Is he gay?
Oh, true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I just like the fact that he was just.
But he was different. He was himself.
Right. But that, again, I like artists.
But think about that in the 90s.
Exactly.
That shit looked way crazier then, because it was like, who the fuck is this guy wearing wigs and shit? But nah, man. I hope Andre comes out of retirement. We need one more Outkast album. Only thing is I'm afraid if they do one more album, I'm afraid it would suck. I'm not saying it would suck, but that'd be my only fear. It's like, what if it's not good?
Yeah. But then being an artist, it's like, I kind of feel Andre, though. Like, shit, I done did what I needed to do. I ain't really got to, I'm cool.
One album of the year.
Yeah, I'm going to go to fucking Starbucks. Diamond. I'm going to play my instrument, and I'm chilling.
He's not even really acting anymore. I haven't seen him in a movie forever.
I feel like he's chilling. Like he probably had at a point in his life where he's like, bro, I'm good where I'm at. I'm fine. I'm out here with my kids.
Most deaf's like that too. Mm-hmm. Who could, you know, one of the greatest.
You know, if artists want to reach out to me and do whatever and link up and do a song, like I'm totally down to do it just to get that blessing. But other than that, I'm at the crib.
Did you hear the Kanye song that was had Andre on it that leaked? That was
I did hear.
That shit. How did that not end up on Donda, man?
Kanye tripping for that
one. He's tripping.
I mean, Kanye be tripping, but he
tripping, be tripping. But I'm like, bro, this is one of the best Andre verses I heard in a long fucking time.
I also like how on 30 Hours, he just had him singing 30 Hours.
Yeah.
That's just fire.
30 like Hours.
To have to do that.
The Life of Pablo doesn't get enough love. That album is fucking crazy.
That actually was a good album.
I love that album. Love,
Pablo, it was pretty fire.
I was not a fan of Jesus is King. Donda's solid, but Jesus is King, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big religious guy, so I don't know. But hey, look, so the album is out. I know you, you know, is this your first official album on Dreamville?
Yeah, this is my first official studio album. I know a lot of people think that West 1996 Part 2 was my official album, but that was just my mixtape.
Because, you know, shit.
But, you know, people call it
private. I was going to say, shit's dicey these days because everything ends up on DSP. So is it an album? Is it a mixtape?
Yeah, nah, it was a project.
Right.
But.
So this is the album.
Yeah, this is the album. Yeah.
When. Did Cole have any input on the album when he heard it?
He loved it. He told me he played, you know, but as far as like how everything went, it was just me and Pooh and Fonte.
Bro, that's so fire that you just got fucking little brother in your corner, man.
Yeah.
We have to make the little brother J. Cole.
Also, Ebe. Like, Ebe is, again, like when I used to have like music and stuff, I would definitely play my music for Ebe because Ebe would let me know if some shit was fire. Like, because I recorded most of the album here in LA.
Okay.
And then I finished it up when I went back to the crib. So when I was here and Ebe was available, I would play some shit just to see if Ebe was rocking with it. And if he was rocking with it, I'm like, all right, this is cool. And if not, because, you know, I trust Eve's ear of music. Cause like,
no, he's got a great ear, man.
He's fire with it. But yeah, other than that, like when I got back to the crib, then that's when the work really went in with like the sequencing and the musicians. Well, we have musicians here in LA too, but just getting everybody and getting piecing it together.
You have to bring Little Brother and J. Cole together on a record. This has to be your mission for North Carolina's history.
Nah, that would be nuts.
How this has not happened yet is beyond me.
That would be nuts.
Drake is on a song with Fonte.
True.
You know why I fucked with Drake off the rip? Because he had an interview like in like 2009 and he said Fonte was like one of his biggest influences. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this guy's like he likes real rap. J. Cole needs a song with Pooh and Fonte, bro.
That's true.
For the culture.
That's true.
And you are the guy who's going to make it happen.
I'm the liaison.
You have to make it happen. On the next album, you, little brother, J. Cole.
Yeah.
That'll
be nuts.
I mean, it's historical. I'm just glad we put a lot of respect on little brother's name in this interview because one of the greatest rap groups of all time.
For sure.
1,000%.
For sure.
So, hey, man, go get the album. It's out right now. Hopefully, we get a Revenge of the Dreamers 4. You know, I'm sure it'll probably be in the next couple of years.
I would love that, too.
The last one did so well.
Yeah, it was fine.
It's crazy the level up, too, because the first two were kind of like under the radar, mm-hmm. like just kind of thrown out there for the like the fans. But that third one was like, no, we're going from gusto with this.
Yeah. Now, the third one was definitely one where it was just like, yo, that was a time.
Those sessions, I mean,
it was a time.
I'm assuming that there'll be a documentary one day.
Has to be.
Just with those sessions. I just want to see Chris Bosh making beats on a laptop.
Two was impactful for me, too, because Still Slumming was on two.
Mm-hmm.
That's where people heard it first. And I never forget when that shit came out. I went to the closest Best Buy, bought like four CDs. I had two for myself. I had one where I wasn't going to open. When I opened, I rode around the city all day listening to that shit.
Wow.
Yeah. That shit was nuts.
Was that the first time you were able to buy a CD that you, like, at Best Buy with you on it?
With me on it, yeah.
That's a big deal, man.
That's why I bought, like, well, at the time for me, it was mad CDs because I was broke. But, you know, buying four CDs.
Remember, there used to be a thing, like, where, like, you'd go support an artist, like, you know, and they'd, I think there was J. Cole, there was a time where Drake and J. Cole went to Best Buy in New York. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
And Drake bought all the Cole albums off the shelf. Yeah. And it was like a thing. But now, obviously, shout out to Best Buy, man.
Yeah, because they don't even have a CD.
I don't know what's going on over there.
You know, I just recently went to Best Buy because I had to get a USB for some shit. But Amazon. They don't even have a CD.
They don't have any CDs. Yeah. I'm just tripping on how they still got Blu-rays.
Yeah, no, that shit's nuts too.
Like, who the fuck is still buying Blu-rays? That's Juggalos. Juggalos. For sure. Yeah. And that's how we end things. We started with Juggalos. We're ending with Juggalos. Yeah. The homie Lut. How many times you get called Lut?
Man. Lut. I get called all kinds of.
Have you ever been called Lute? That's a nice, lovely, like lady, funny. Like Spanish lady from Harlem. Lute! No?
No.
Ain't been hit with the Lute yet.
Nah, Lut, though, I definitely get that shit.
It's Lut, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Thank you for coming through, man.
Nah, I appreciate
it. Appreciate you, brother. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Business. It's all the things that keep this world turning. And behind every one of these companies is a partner helping to keep it all moving. It's why the local flower shop and your favorite pizza joint, the startup in the stadium, hospitals and hotels, banks and restaurants nationwide, all choose the Advanced Network, cybersecurity solutions, and round-the-clock trusted partnership from Comcast Business, the company that powers more businesses than anyone else. Comcast Business. Powering possibilities.
Restrictions apply. Call or visit ComcastBusiness.com to learn more.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forest, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.